are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So leadership roles within the church for men have been a subject of considerable discussion and interpretation within Christianity, varying across denominations, theological perspectives, and cultural contexts. The goal of male leadership in the church is to glorify God, edify the body of Christ, and fulfill the Great Commission by making disciples of all nations. So we are joined on the line by Moruti John Kamedi, who's going to be helping us look at church leadership when it comes to our men. I always say our men. I care about our father, so it's our men. Well, in terms of men. Moruti, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Zanele. How are you?
I am good, Moruti. I hope you are well. You're not like me, who has a flu.
I'm well.
No, we thank you, Moruti, for coming through to speak to us. I'm going to ask Mfundisi that before we start our conversation, can you please do offer a word of prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving eternal Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you once again in a very special way. There is a topic before us that we want to explore. We ask that may you touch our gray matter, may you touch the synopsis of our brains, so that as we discuss this topic, Heavenly Father, we'll only be led by you. Be with us now and forevermore. It's our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, you know, it's so interesting that now we're just speaking about the whole issue of context when it comes to studying the Bible and things that we, we don't just copy and paste, as Derek was saying there. But now when we're looking at church leadership, there are passages or texts that are commonly used, you know, in discussions about how men are the ones that are leading us in church. So how do we interpret those particular texts, and which texts are we using whenever we're speaking about leadership in church?
Thank you so very much, Zanele. First of all, allow me to say that this is a very heavy topic to look at. I wish that it was addressed by those who are in positions of leadership.
Yeah.
So that there is perspective with the position of the church when it comes to that. That is my disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I'll speak on my own behalf and my theological understanding. It is true that we see male leadership throughout the history of God's people,
mm-hmm.
from creation right throughout Scripture. I know that I want to share with us some arguments that are there, and then some few Bible verses that are used to support that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God called men to serve as the focal points of his covenants with mankind. We have examples of Adam, who was a man, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and even Jesus was also a man. They were patriarchs instead of matriarchs. There were tribes of Israel were also named after men. Mediators between God and people were men. They were priests instead of priestesses. God appointed kings, not queens.
Mm-hmm.
The 12 disciples were men. Jesus could have chosen 6 men and 6 women, but
yes,
he chose 12 men.
Mm.
Even the 7 deacons in the book of Acts were all men. There were no deaconesses. You will also find, Zanele, that where women are found in positions of leadership in the Bible, like Deborah, there is no mention that they were ever chosen by God.
Yeah.
But when it comes to men, I think you would allow me to read a few verses here.
Yes, please.
First, number one, let's look at Judges 3, verse 9. Judges 3, verse 9. It's similar also to Judges 3:15. Let me just quickly read them. Verse 9 says, "When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother." Verse 15, "But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera."
Mm.
The Benjamite, a left-handed man.
Hmm.
By him, the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. You go to Judges 6, verse 14, where it talks about Gideon. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? These are some of the verses. Even Samson in Judges 13, 24 to 25, it shows that he was sent by God. But let us look at Deborah. Then I want to go back and talk about the issues of interpretation.
Okay.
That most of these verses that we use to support that idea are actually misinterpreted. Because I can tell you that some of the beliefs that we have allowed to encroach into the church are not necessarily biblical, but they are cultural.
Okay.
Yeah, I can give you an example. If you go in your marriage with your husband, who is expected to be to do laundry?
Me.
It's you, and also cooking. It's you.
Yes.
But if we go to the Garden of Eden, who was cooking?
You.
No one was cooking because there was no need to cook. No one was doing laundry. So
there was no need.
Those roles are actually brought in by culture.
I see.
Not necessarily the Bible. Yeah. So Deborah, in Judges 4, verse 4, it does not indicate that this person was called by God. Let's quote it. It says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. Just because it does not mention, like those men that we read, that they were called by God, they say that God did not necessarily call her. She even encouraged Barak to lead, because Barak was a man, though she was a judge.
Okay.
She rebuked Barak for failing to lead. Yes, she was the one who was in leadership. So because she was a woman, she was not fit to lead. That's why she would call a certain man to come and lead, especially when it comes to battles on her behalf. So the pattern of male leadership continued even into the New Testament. I don't know if I should wait for you to maybe want to ask something before we get into what happened in the New Testament and then look at the misinterpretations of the texts.
No, let's go there, Mfundisi. Let's go there.
Okay. Now, this pattern of male leadership also continued even into the New Testament. Hey, if you take 1 Timothy chapter 3, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Mfundisi.
Yeah, it says chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, would say, This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. You hear that?
Yes.
You go to Titus 1, verse 6 and verse 9. It talks about the same thing. But my interest in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12 and 14, because we don't have much time, I think we can just look at this one and then look at the issue of interpretation. Maybe then we may call it a day. chapter 2, verse 12 and 14.
Okay.
If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Is it the one? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he cannot deny himself, and so on and so forth. We remind them that the things changing them. Okay. There's a text, Titus 2, 3 to 5, that says women should take the role of silence.
Yes.
Paul, it looks like he implies that women should not talk. You remember, you should not talk in church. You should not speak in church. If they want to speak, they should go and ask their husbands at home. But then you go to, these are issues of interpretation. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there now he says, women should prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
And prophesy here does not necessarily refer to someone being a prophet, but it means preaching.
Okay.
So the Bible is supposed to be in harmony with itself.
Mm.
If in Titus, he suggests that, or he implies that women should not speak in church, how then would he say they should speak in church in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians?
Okay.
It means the Bible now is not in harmony with itself.
Mm.
The proponents of men leading use this verse, but they misinterpret it. Because when Paul said women should not speak in church,
mm-hmm.
it was the Greek word that he used there is not like the same or the common word Greek word used for women mm-hmm. in general in the Bible. It's for specific women in that particular congregation.
Mm.
The context there was that there were women who were in leadership, the cream de la cream of the society.
Yes.
Who brought even their positions from the world. They want to bring them into the church to influence the way the church was run.
Mm.
So because they were holding such high positions in society, they wanted to control even men that were in church. There was no decorum in the church. Because the sitting was like men would sit on the other side of the aisle, women would sit on the other side. So when they talk, when they spoke, they will speak across, shout across to where men were. And then there was a lot of confusion in the church. Paul writes him to say, this particular woman should not speak in church.
Yeah.
If they want to say something, they must go and ask their husbands at home.
Yeah.
That is the context here. Mm. Not necessarily that no woman should not speak in church.
Mm.
And then they would say, they will continue to say, Adam was created first. I don't know how we qualify first, because if you were born on the 3rd of March like me, and you are born at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then someone else is born on the 3rd of March at 12 noon, we share the same birthday, don't we?
Yes.
So Adam and Eve were created in the same day.
Okay.
So there is no age difference between the two. Then they will say, Eve was deceived. Was she the only one who was deceived? It also opposes the idea of man being created first. Because if then we say that Adam was created first, it means that when God shared the law with Adam, then Eve was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam should have known that he should not separate with the wife. And again, when she comes with the fruit, the forbidden fruit, he should have refused to partake of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say women were the first to be deceived and so on and so forth. They were both deceived. That's why when God came, he calls Adam, he does not call Eve. He knew why he was doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Moruti, looking at that, you know, we have pointed out scriptures that are used whenever the issue of leadership comes through. Do we have qualities and characteristics that are looked at based on the Bible saying, Pastor John, you know, he does not fit, for example, to be a deacon because of 1, 2, 3, 4, or he actually does qualify to be voted in or selected or whatever process that people use to be a deacon or a pastor because he has met 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 criteria?
Yes, they will always quote. What is that verse? Where did I write it? They will always quote 1 Timothy 3:1-5.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that a leader should have those qualities.
Okay.
That, as I alluded to, that person should be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Those are some of the qualities that that are there when people look at who should be a leader.
Mm-hmm. So do we, after that is looked on, and here you are as a man, you have been, you know, voted in or elected, anything else, is there a time where we come back as the church and sit and we're like, wait, is Muruti John still in good and regular standing based on these biblical principles? Or once you are in, you're in, that's it?
In practice, once you are in, you are in.
Ah.
But as per policies and operations of the, at least of my denomination, there is a time when you should be removed for cause.
Okay.
Because what we thought you were is no longer, doesn't apply anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we have not necessarily looked at someone having failed and removed that person. It is like once you are in, you are in.
Yeah, we must do that for cause. Anyway, so as we remember Muruti, you know, our time is fast spent there. Looking at this leadership role of men within the church, is it something that one should desire to, or should they be called by God? In a sense that I would say, if I was a man, for example, I would be like, yo, come 2025, me, I want to be a director of this, or I want to take this position. Or it's something that other people should actually see that, no, man, this particular brother has these particular qualities. Maybe he would be a good fit. Or is it something that we aspire, or is it things that people see in us and then do the recommendations?
We should, first of all, such an individual should be called. God calls, and then he will inspire the people to make sure that the person that is being called is the one who is brought into that particular position.
Mm.
But in the contrary, we seem to aspire those positions of leadership.
Mm.
But it is supposed to be God who calls that individual. And it is even the body of Christ will have to pick it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this person is the one who is fit for this particular position. But is that what we do in practice? That is a topic for another.
I know. Anyway, Muruti, thank you so much. You know, we have touched on, I think, the basics of that. But as you're saying that, you know, some of the things that we discuss, we do need much more time for us to look at them and study them. But we're going to make time for that. But before you go, Muruti, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for our men as they are leading and as they are holding vital roles within the church, that they may lead with integrity and they may lead, you know, as God has called them. And yeah, all these other politics, they can park them for a while. It's okay. But if you can just pray for those that are in leadership.
Sure, let's pray. Father God in heaven, once again, we come before you. We want to thank you for having led us in our conversation today. We were talking about men in leadership. We have appointed a lot of men all over the world, even the Father, to lead your church and also to lead your people. I ask that may you humble us and make us understand as men that it is you who has put us in those positions. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that to help us to lead in the way that will please heaven. Be with us, and Heavenly Father, please make us to be humble enough to know that we are leading because of the role that you have bestowed upon us. Be with men, be with everyone who is listening to this broadcast. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Muruti, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Same to you. Thank you so very much.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed.